Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints that are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction, through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound unto us, even so our comfort also aboundeth through Christ.
In the 1980s, there was a famous heavyweight boxer, James Tillis. In the 80s, Mr. Tillis was boxing in the area of Chicago, and he described on at least one occasion his first day in Chicago. He got off the bus. He had two large cardboard suitcases under each arm. And the bus, he relates, stopped in front of the Sears Tower. As he was there, he decided that it was going to be a good thing to look at the tower. So he looked up at that building, and if you've ever been there, you know that it's a very tall structure. And he stared at the top of the building for a few moments and said, "I am going to conquer Chicago." When he looked down, his suitcases were gone. Somebody had stolen them. So his first hour in Chicago was not very pleasant. That was a discouraging way to begin a career in a new city. And this true story is a good and simple reminder of a basic fact from everyday life. We are sometimes surrounded by people who are discouraged. The reasons for dampened spirits vary, but many struggle with discouragement. In fact, just a few minutes ago, we sang a song, 472, Sing and Be Happy, and the words of that song begin, "If the skies above you are gray," not doing so well. Does the Bible have anything to say about discouragement? Who gets discouraged? How should discouragement be handled? What can we do to help people who are discouraged? As a Christian, we often find people who are discouraged. Some are discouraged by health issues. Others are discouraged by the behavior of family members or friends. Discouragement exists because of situations on the job. Does God want us to do anything when we find people who are discouraged? Well, if you're taking some notes, let's first consider the fact that discouragement is found in the Bible. I want to cite a couple of passages from the first part of Genesis. One of the first problems that we read about in the Bible is discouragement. Keep a little bit ago, refer to Genesis 4. We're going to make a brief reference to Genesis 4-5. This chapter says that Cain and Abel both brought their offerings to God, and God was not pleased by Cain's offering, and Cain got angry. The Bible adds a little detail to the story in the 5th verse of Genesis 4, and here's what the text says. But to Cain and his offering, he that is God had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The countenance, the face of Cain fell, dropped. You know, there's some people sometimes who are discouraged and sad. But it's also possible to be in a situation where discouragement is coupled with anger. And that seems to be the case here. God asks why this man was angry and why his countenance had fallen, verse 6. There's a second example of discouragement fairly early in Genesis. This is found in Genesis 21. And I'm also going to read a couple of verses from this chapter. Sarah was living in a household with her husband Abraham, and you may remember that Hagar was also in the same household. Hagar had given birth to Abraham's son, and time was reached in Genesis 21 where Sarah told her husband Abraham that Hagar had to go. Sarah insisted that Abraham kick the mother of his son and his son out of the house. She laid down the law. And that surely was a very difficult thing for Abraham. Having his son kicked out of the house, that had to be a discouraging thing. But there is other discouragement in Genesis 21, and this is found in verses 14, 15, and 16. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and gave her her child and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now 15 and 16. And the water in the bottle was spent, used up. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not look upon the death of the child. And she said over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. This woman was so despondent, so discouraged, that she took her son and cast him under a shrub. I took the time to look up that verse, and it literally means, this is how it's defined in this passage, that she took her child and she threw him under a shrub. She was that discouraged, that disheartened. So the first chapters in the Bible, the first book certainly shows examples of discouragement. Well, as we look at these chapters, perhaps some are inclined to think that only the unrighteous people in the world are discouraged. Maybe the only people who get discouraged are the people who are spiritually immature. After all, the examples in Genesis 4 and Genesis 21 are hardly people like the Apostle Paul. Does the Bible tell us anything about discouragement among the people that we might classify as spiritual giants? Well, let's see. I'm going to turn to the next book, cite some information from Exodus 3, and actually read from Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus 3:10, we find that God said to Moses, you're going to deliver the nation of Israel. You're going to go to Pharaoh, and you're going to demand that the Hebrew people be released. Moses responded to that, and people have described Moses' response in a variety of ways. Some say that he demonstrated a lack of faith. Others have said that Moses was afraid, and there is truth in both of these explanations. But what Moses said is broad enough to also include discouragement. Reading from Exodus 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, Jehovah hath not appeared unto thee. Moses was not very anxious to go to the land of Egypt and see the leader. Instead of being encouraged about his assignment, he was discouraged. He basically said to God that you have a plan, but it's not going to work. If you want an even better description of discouragement in Moses' life, I cited Exodus 4 to show that this was a problem more than once. In Numbers 11, verse 14, and this is a very loose paraphrase, he said, I cannot bear the burden of this people by myself. God, the load that you have put on me, the load that is in my life, it is too heavy. And essentially in the 14th verse, Moses says to God, if this is your will for my life, if this is the direction that you want me to go, it is just too hard and kill me on the spot. If this is what you want me to do, just end my life right now. He was a man who faced some bitter periods of discouragement. The Old Testament shows that people from all walks of life can suffer discouragement. The non-religious person who wallows in sin, he or she can face it. A homemaker like Hagar can fall victim to it. Prominent religious leaders can be affected by it as well. Moses was by no means the only religious leader who became despondent. As you look at the Old Testament, you find that other people, Elijah, Jonah, Job, and even the prophet Jeremiah faced this very thing. What we see in the Bible is still found in our modern world. Since this is a Bible subject, what should we do about it? The rest of my material is divided into two sections, points of application for Christians, and then we'll close with some information or application about non-Christians. For our scripture reading, we heard some information from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1, 1-5. In those verses, if you follow along carefully, Paul said that God wants to comfort his people. Why would God want to do that? Well, the answer would seem to be, he comforts us because there are times when we need to be comforted. God's people need to be encouraged because there are times when they are discouraged. And God says in 2 Corinthians 1, and in fact throughout this entire book, that God wants to strengthen his people. As you look at 2 Corinthians 1, and I counted these, the noun and the verb form of the word comfort, if you take them together, it is used 10 times in 2 Corinthians 1. Now, that's a small amount of space to talk about comforting people, and yet that's what the Apostle Paul did. God knows that people get discouraged, and he is in the comforting business. Someone has said that only two types of people, do not need comforting, those who are unborn and those who are dead. And that's probably a pretty good description of things. When a Christian becomes discouraged, a good place to turn is 2 Corinthians 1, because this chapter clearly shows that God wants his people to feel better. Someone says, well, that's all fine and good, but does God act on his will? It's one thing to say that God wants his people to feel better, but does he do it? And if God does comfort his people, how does he do it? Well, let's take a look. About midway through 2 Corinthians, we have some interesting information in the 7th chapter, 2 Corinthians 7, 6. This passage is related to Titus. Titus was another co-worker of Paul's, and this passage tells us a little bit about this man. Paul said, and again, 2 Corinthians deals a lot with discouragement. Paul said, nevertheless, he that comforteth the lowly, even God, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Now, there are 2 points to extract from 2 Corinthians 7:6. First, Paul said that God does want to comfort his people. He makes that very clear. Paul then added that he had an example. He was able to illustrate how God can comfort his people. In other words, here was a man who had literally seen the process work. How did, on this occasion, God deal with people who needed to be comforted? How did he strengthen those who were discouraged? Paul said God sent Titus to us. God ensured that Titus came to some people who needed help. Now, was this a miracle? No, not a miracle. Was this a means of strength and help to those who were discouraged? Paul said that it was. So God comforted his people on this occasion, but he did not rely upon the miraculous to accomplish that act. Well, this is one way that God still can comfort his people. Are there any other ways? Are there any other means that he has? Yes. At times we cite Colossians 3:16 to deal with the kind of music that God wants in worship. This passage is appropriate for that. It needs to be used for that, but it does have some other applications. Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." I want to propose for your consideration a parallel between that and an event that's probably not real likely, but could happen in our world. Let's suppose that we work at a certain company in Elkhart County. And tomorrow morning, as we go to work, it is announced that everybody needs to come down to a certain area for a plant-wide meeting. At this meeting, it is announced that there are going to be some major changes at the plant. Each employee is now going to get free health insurance that's going to cover 100% of their bills. Each employee is going to get a 60% raise. They're going to be working 5 hours a day, and they're going to have Friday and Saturday off. Now, if you were at such a meeting, how would you feel? I suppose that most people, even if they had walked into that meeting feeling discouraged, they would be encouraged. They would be excited. They would be enthused because the information would strengthen them and encourage them. The minds of the employees would be dwelling on the great information that had just been given to them by the company. What did Paul say to the Colossians? He said, there's something that you need to think about. Let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you. And then Paul added, let it dwell in you richly. Why, Paul? There are a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is that it will help Christians overcome discouragement. It's not the primary reason, but it is certainly a reason. Another passage that we can relate to this point is found in the book of Hebrews. Towards the end of the book, Hebrews chapter 10, the verses that we want are 24 and 25. In verse 25, the Hebrew writer spoke of a day, and people are not agreed on what this day is. One good possibility, and this is the way that I lean, is that the Hebrew writer, because of all the other things said in this book and because of other parts of the New Testament, the day seems to be a reference to the destruction of Jerusalem. The destruction of Jerusalem was a traumatic time. Any time a nation is invaded, any time people are attacked, that's discouraging. People are hurt, they're killed, property is damaged, destroyed. Sometimes it's confiscated, and the Hebrew writer seems to be looking forward to that day, which came in AD 70. In verse 24 of Hebrews 10, he said, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, do it even more, as ye see the day," and again, I think that's the destruction of Jerusalem, "drawing nigh." In a time that would have been discouraging, the Hebrew writer said to a group of Christians, exhort one another. And it tells us that when we come together as a group of God's people, there should be some things that take place where Christians are strengthened, where they are supported, and those who are discouraged receive some encouragement. I've heard people tell me at different times, and I'm sure that you have had at least a couple of people tell you this, maybe you felt like this, but someone has perhaps expressed to you, "I am too discouraged to come and meet with the church. It's not, I don't come. I'm just too discouraged, too despondent." People who express or feel, express that point or feel that way have not gotten the message of Hebrews 10. The writer said the church is the right place for people who are discouraged. This is one of the tools that God has devised to help his people. So instead of running from the assemblies, the people who are discouraged should flee to the assemblies, because this is one means that God has to aid them. These are some of the things that relate to Christians and discouragement, but what can we say about the non-Christians who struggle with the discouragement? Because we find a lot of those folks in the world. Folks in our neighborhoods, the people that we are involved with in a recreational way, people on the job. In Luke 18:1, Jesus taught men to always pray and not to faint. In other words, the Lord consistently pointed people towards God. And this, as a Christian, is one of the things that we can do in life. When we find people in the world who are discouraged, we can give them hope. The gospel, that means good news, shows that we have good news for people who are discouraged. Can't offer a cure for cancer. Can't offer a cure for AIDS and similar conditions. We cannot wipe out world hunger or take away all the poverty in the world. But we as God's people do have something to help every single person who is discouraged. We can give people access to the very things that help Christians beat discouragement. And that points people to the gospel and Christ. If people in the world want encouragement, if they want to overcome discouragement, it's all found in the Lord. When people become a Christian, they have a new home in life. I know some people who are discouraged about their homes. But for the Christian, there's encouragement. Because they have a brand new home, a brand new way of life in Christ. That's the good news. Christians have a new life in Christ. So the people in this life who are discouraged about their life, discouraged about their physical circumstances, they can be encouraged if they have faith in Christ. When someone becomes a Christian, they have new friends. Sometimes people are discouraged by their old friends, by people who have let them down, but we have new friends, new associates in the Lord. We have boundless wealth and riches in Christ. We have a hope that is beyond all hopes if we are in the Lord. The way of life is new, totally new, if we are in Jesus. And that's one of the ways that God helps encourage His people. Christians should be people who are encouraged each day in life because of what they have. Too many great things not to be a Christian. So this morning we ask a simple question. Are you a Christian? And if you are, is the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly? Colossians 3:16. So you're encouraged on a regular basis. If you're a Christian who is discouraged, Hebrews 10:24 and 25 shows that you should be encouraged by your fellow brethren. And if this morning we can help encourage you, we need to do that. We have an obligation to do that, and we'd like to help. If you're someone who is not a Christian, there is a great deal of encouragement in Christ, new life, new home, new friends, many good things. And I want to encourage you to turn away from the kind of life that you've been living. The Bible calls that repentance. If you believe in the Lord and you're willing to make that turn, you can confess Christ. You can be baptized and have all your sins washed away. That's an encouraging thing. And then continue to have the right tools to deal with discouragement each day that you live. Are you a Christian who needs help? Or this morning, are you ready to become a child of God? If so, we encourage you to make the right choice as we stand and sing.